Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hey, you guys, make sure you rate, review, subscribe to our podcast. And you can find all the social stuff on...
Yeah, the TikTok, the Instagram. You can watch the whole thing on YouTube.
I forget about that.
Yeah, no, I mean, a lot of people watch it on YouTube, yeah.
Yeah, we got new cameras, so everything's...
They look great. They take 10 years off. They don't.
I know, I need a chin light.
They add 10 pounds.
Yeah.
This is my issue right now. I was like... If I lost 10 pounds, I think my face would be less round.
If you lost 10 pounds, I'd check you into a clinic.
No, I'm saying I lost 12 pounds.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, oh, that's just my face. It's just my face is very round. That's how I was born.
Sometimes she says stuff and I'm like, what part of this do I get most mad at?
I don't know. I guess this is how women swimsuit shop too. I would argue this point, is they go in and they're like,
what's the one that looks the least bad on me?
No, I think they're like, I'm going to pick something that makes me look like a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model. Like that magic, if I pay enough money, it will do something.
You
that
think
makes
women
me-
go in and say, I'm going to find something that makes me look like a Sports Illustrated?
I do think they think
Are you kidding?
I think they think it's going to make them look different. I do that. I go in and I'm like, if I find the right one that cinches and boosts in the right places, I am going to look so hot in this swimsuit. And then that is why when I don't find that magical swimsuit, I'm like—
You're frustrated.
I fucking hate swimsuits. Yeah.
I always walk in and I'm like, look, I need something with a lot of control, a strong skirt. Something that if you got anything that can really distract from my cellulite, I've
Chrissy
seen that
walks
on the market.
In, she's like, I need one of those water wicking things that covers your nipples, and I don't want the middle hair showing either. So like some
I need
kind
something
of shorts that,
something real strong in the panty space
that won't weight me down if I
yep. I need
get
something
into a situation.
That hides the old boosh because when it gets wet, it looks like. Looks like tissue paper.
What does it? Ah! I guess I like to think of it as a fluffy, warm quilt. That
yeah,
feels
it's
different
the front of
me.
My suit's
it's
quilted. Like, I've always said that. I've always said, look, man, I don't know what kind of boosh you guys are dealing with, but mine's impressive. And when I go in and try on suits, I'm like, look, I'm going to wear underwear as I try this on. But if I can see the hair through the underwear through the suit, your suit's a real shit bird.
She's
and I should not
like
be allowed in public.
A moon man suit. Like
Shut up.
One of those like multiple, it weighs 30 pounds,
Welcome
but it does
to the
cover
Iman
her bush.
Sword podcast. If you're a 28-year-old dude and you've just heard about my boosh,
Sorry
enjoy.
Sorry about your boner.
Sorry.
I did. Oh my God. I said this thing. Okay. This guy screamed at me. I told you this guy road raged at me.
Yeah.
We live in LA. I mean, this wasn't
it
as
happens
bad as
too often.
It wasn't.
Mine
as,
was a terrible.
Hers was super scary. Mine was just a Tuesday. Didn't
yeah.
it? Like I turned out of, I was like buying stuff for the school,
yeah.
turned out of this business. They had a red light like down where I was turning into. So I was like, well, the only way this, I'm going to upset a car is if they're speeding too fast to get to the next red light.
Right. It's
sure enough. This douchebag in a Chrysler Sebring was doing exactly
Who has that.
That
car anymore?
I don't know, but this guy did, and this was the funniest exchange. He had it like it was a convertible, and he had the top up.
Oh,
and he,
I know that guy. Right. I think I dated that guy in 2004.
He rolled it down and goes, "Fuck you. See you next Tuesday." But he said the whole thing. And then he rolled his window up, which you know pisses me off.
Yeah.
I don't like anybody to have the last word. You don't get to have the last word.
No. Nope.
So I rolled my window down and I was going, roll your window down.
Roll
your
window
down. And I know you can hear me. I know you can hear me. I go, sorry about your dick. He rolls his window down and goes, how am I the bad guy when you cut me off? And then
you guys
off.
Got into another conversation. He got into another conversation.
I thought he had a valid point, but I wanted to say, like, because you were like, you were speeding. If you weren't racing, God.
How do you say anything after? Sorry about your dick.
I loved how sincere he was, honestly, where he was like, wait,
you know about
how
my wiener?
Am I the bad guy?
Like, you told, said, but let me list the ways, buddy. You said F and U and C.
Yeah.
And you're being driving a Sebring.
I mean, if you were right at all, buddy, you lost it when you dropped the C word. And don't think I'm not coming back guns a-blazing,
this
buddy.
This one does not operate
it was
in the same
wrong
space
day?
As me. She is the opposite.
Like, really? Roll your window down. I want to make sure you hear
down.
All the words I'm saying. And I want you to have them go through your head while you fall asleep tonight.
That's our social clip, y'all. That is our social clip.
Because I know I'm not a cunt, but I felt like you might have some dick issues.
Yeah. You got a real small wiener, sir, in your Sebring.
Oh, God, ladies.
But we are going to talk about something that's going to make us all feel really good.
I don't want to be that person who gets like drugged down to like the lowest common denominator because somebody else is doing it at me. I want to be my best. I want to be my, like, that's the ultimate definition of Zen though, is that you like, you're still nice and still good even when somebody makes you crazy, but I'm not there yet. I just get crazy.
Can I add to that real quick?
Please.
Because I'm going to tell a story about someone that you know, which is the weirdest part of our history, is that Jen and I have friends in common before we met.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which
tons
is
of
so
them,
weird when yeah. I can talk about somebody and she'll go, oh, yeah, she's from Central. I'm like,
yeah.
Wait,
yeah,
how do you
yeah,
know her?
Yeah.
And I get mad.
Yeah.
Michelle Eckley.
Yeah.
Jen's very good friend in high school was my college roommate.
I have so many pictures of her and I together.
We did not know each other.
Nope.
It is the craziest thing. So Michelle Eckley, who, if you know her, has this beautiful face that, like, when she smiles, she looks like
cherubic.
A doll.
She's
like a cherub. And
she even has the little, like, rosy red cheeks. Like, yeah.
She's got, like, this, like, doe-eyed,
biggest blue eyes
and a natural smile and blonde and so cute. And she told me that when, because she was a terrible driver. And
I know that too. About
She dressed like a strange librarian and had weird bucket hats. And
so cute.
And was a terrible driver. I've got a type. Anyway, she said.
Wait a second.
Hold on. Was that Jen or is that my friend Michelle? Anyway, so Michelle goes, whenever somebody gets mad at me when they're driving and they yell at me, I blow them a kiss. And I was like, what? Mm-hmm. So I was driving and this car, I cut them off. I will admit it was me. And this woman started to scream at me. So I blew her a kiss. And then she proceeded to follow me to my job. And I did not think ahead as to the fact that this person also is in a car. And if I am an a-hole, like blowing a kiss, which is the most antagonistic bullshit you could do, Michelle Eckley, thank you for nothing. And I was driving to Grassani's.
Oh, gosh.
To go wait tables, and I kept circling.
Let me just give you all the free garlic bread you can stomach.
I just didn't know how to get out of my car.
What happened?
She eventually quit. Just drove for 30 minutes. It was 30 minutes late and got in trouble.
Well,
thanks for nothing.
You were in danger. I will give a thumbs up sometimes if somebody does something really stupid. I do.
You're awesome. I'm the worst. I just look like I'm writing a formal letter. Like, I look at them like, how dare you?
My husband does this thing that makes me so crazy. If it looks like somebody is going to dart across the road, if they're in a car or walking, he gives them the motion. When
I
they're
do that
like,
too.
No. Literally when he would hit them. Like, he's like, if they were to go right now, it would ensure an accident because he thinks it's funny. And I'm like,
oh, God.
Don't do that with our kids in the car. Because you're going to learn why that's not funny at some point.
That
stresses me out. And I don't want it
to be.
I know. It's so upsetting. Like every single time he has the opportunity, you know, he goes, come on. And keeps going. He's a New Yorker, you guys.
Oh my God. I have notes.
I know.
But let's change the subject to what we want to talk about. Let's do a really formal, abrupt change.
Our next podcast is definitely going to be about drivers who piss us off.
Yeah, because
like
It's LA,
you guys.
An opinion about that every week. We could do a mini session of who pissed me off in a car this week.
I think I've got one right now. Diagnose a lot about what is wrong with you based on the car you're driving and the way that you drive.
100%.
Is that a thing? Could I be that kind of psychic? Or
also,
is that
just
like a sociologist thing?
Back the fuck off about all of it.
Just
like,
relax.
Like, I went to do school pickup and it's at a parking lot in a grocery store area. So it's real cramped in there. And like, I got wedged in a corner. So I just like pulled into the corner. I saw Finn. I go, "Hey, Finn, buddy, come get in the car, hustle up. I'm kind of holding up traffic." And I hear, "K-k-k-k." And there's a dad on the other side going like, "Hey." And I'm like, "Your kid's getting in your car too. Like, just give me, you see my boy, he's coming up 30 seconds.
Rushing is my least favorite thing on the planet. I don't like it. And I don't like where my brain is when it happens.
Yeah,
and
it doesn't feel good.
And people are driving bad, I'm like, leave earlier. Leave your house earlier.
Yeah.
And then none of this will happen to
Nebraska
you.
Nice.
Emotionally. Just leave early. Give yourself that coffee time, that 15 minutes, if you get there early, where you can get a cup of coffee for yourself as
this
a reward
is the
for not being psycho.
I have with my husband
on
a daily basis. Because my husband runs on. See, I am someone that enjoys being early. I don't even like being exactly on time because I feel like I'm down to a minute. I'm like,
No.
I'm down to a minute. And when we started podcasting over here, I was late a couple times because traffic is so different and we've been doing it so differently now that I'm like, Jen, I am so sorry. I'm 6 minutes late. I'm sorry. I'm hitting traffic in the other direction and it just makes me feel so bad. So like I enjoy being 15 minutes early so I can have chips and dip in Jen's kitchen.
Yeah.
I don't want to worry and sweat. My husband, on the other hand, will roll in exactly at the time he's supposed to start doing the thing covered in sweat. I'm like, is it worth it to you to be so exactly on time that you have one of two options, to be exactly on time or to be late?
I know. It just happened today.
Why?
Which I always explain this to my kids about how you want to do, like, live your life so you don't have your reptile brain come out, which is like when your fight flight response happens, when you get like so freaked out.
You don't get to have any fun.
That you're not thinking rationally, you're just thinking about like survival and
A
all
to B.
You can is like angry feelings.
I am one of those because I do get busy and it gets I'm like my best brain is in the morning, so I make sure that I like pre-pack the bags. Colin helps me pre-pack the bags. I just want everything to be, because by the end of the day I'm like, who has attention deficit disorder?
I do, when she does, and he does, and
he
we
does
do.
And we
what
do.
Were we? Who wants
Where
to ride
are
bikes?
Our kids? Yep. Does anybody want to go to soccer?
I'm the night before.
Yeah.
When I wake up in the morning and I just stare blankly. So I do everything the night before.
Not me.
No matter what. Like, we have, even if the soccer games are at 11 at night, as
That's
the kids
smart.
Are going to bed, I lay everything out and I say to everybody,
That's smart.
Look at me with your eyeballs.
Yep.
Your clothes are on your dresser. So nobody freak out. Husband, the clothes are on the dresser. And those fucking
You're doing
socks
it right.
get me every time. No, they don't. Still the socks. I don't know where socks go.
Oh, my
leave.
God.
Anyways,
soccer socks.
We had a fun thing we were going to talk about.
Okay,
that didn't
we're going
involve-
to talk about the fun thing. We're not going to talk about road rage or soccer, but we are because that's our lives. And
that's
pretty soon it will be double for me.
Every mom gets it because you're dealing with both in every day usually, at least in the fall.
Can everybody just wear the same color uniform forever?
Okay.
But there's a lot of rainbow colors. Okay.
At the end of the day. When you get done with soccer, when you get done driving everybody around, you have lots of TV choices, and we will tell you the correct TV choice to make right now.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I would just like to say this is my observation as of late. Obviously, we are having a lot of fun talking about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
Yes.
We have a lot more to contribute, but that is not the focus of this episode, which, again, that could be our third podcast. But will you please tell everybody what you want their love nickname to be?
Trailer.
God, please, Trailer. You heard it here first.
Let's let that pit.
If anybody uses that, we get credit.
My mom so hard gets credit for
it. Well, Jen gets credit.
The trailer relationship.
Just make sure that we get some. Trailer is so perfect on so many levels.
On lots of levels, right?
But we've noticed that, like, this has been a really fun romance that's, like, created these conversations that feel delightful and lighthearted and sweet. And there is another delightful and lighthearted and sweet. And it is The Golden Bachelor. And if you're not watching it, you're missing out. This is full of spoilers, but there's only 2 episodes in. So it's really new. It's really fresh. Like probably it's 3 by the time this airs. So it's really early. Get on board.
I was very skeptical about it. And I don't know why. I literally hadn't thought about it that much. I never watched The Bachelor number 1 because I just feel like, oh, of course, just throw vagina at this man who is maybe deserving. You told us he was. And like, I don't like that competition between women and how it makes them behave.
Yeah.
So I'm not a huge Bachelor fan. So
I'm hit and miss. There's been seasons I've watched the entire thing, and there's been years that have gone by where I've never watched one.
Same. I will say, unless for most women, unless you're like very jaded or going through a time, you love love. You love love. You love to see it happen. You love the exciting way that it, like the when it sneaks up on you.
And this feels, I think, The Bachelor as it was originally intended, because it is it's a young, they're all very attractive thing. It feels like a feeding frenzy and it feels bad. It starts to feel like competitive and icy, and they love the drama and everybody's drunk and it's a thing. Yeah, but you know
like
what?
Everybody's going after the quarterback and I'm like, well, is he funny?
I know. But like, they also have Bachelorette and I feel like that is different too. But you know, this is different. The Golden Bachelor is different.
Different, you guys. So Kristen told me to watch it, and I was like, I don't know.
I told Jen to watch it because I was like, I need to talk about it, and the stuff I'm talking about is so exactly what Jen loves to talk about.
And I have to say, too, like, my husband makes fun of any, like, reality TV show that I watch.
He didn't.
He is a softie at heart, and he was like, oh, my God. I love this guy.
Gary.
I don't know.
Gary.
I don't know what's going to happen if like everything doesn't work out the way that
we have to protect Gary. It's a whole trend on TikTok.
Oh, my God. Okay, so let's – where do we even start? Okay,
so The Bachelor is –
he's Golden Bachelor.
His name is – he's 70. Years.
Yeah.
I think he's 72 at this point. He's so lovely. He was married to a woman named Toni, high school sweethearts, married for years and years and years, 3 beautiful children. Yep. And then they bought their dream – I get like – choked up thinking about it. They bought their retirement dream house. They moved in. A week later, she got a bacterial infection and passed away.
Oh, God.
And he was left brokenhearted. This happened six years ago.
So he's a restaurateur.
He's a restaurateur. He's from Indiana. Nice Midwest kind of like – at first I wondered if he would appear, for the lack of a better word, sort of not corny, but a little bit like – maybe dopey might be in there, like something a little like doo doo doo, which isn't a bad thing. I just didn't know if that was going to be something I could watch.
He gives me like the way he is isn't what he looks like.
Correct.
He's
very handsome.
Here's a compliment to what he looks like. He sort of looks like God. Who's the guy in Indecent Proposal, that Robert Redford?
Right.
He looks like Robert Redford, but he doesn't have that look that he knows it.
Right. He's very
humble,
earnest.
And down to
and
earth.
Kind.
Yeah.
Genuinely kind.
Yeah.
Like, this is a guy that is 70 and is 70. He's not trying to be 40.
No.
He's not trying to be 80.
He looks 70.
He's just where he's at. He's a good looking 70 year old.
Yeah.
He wears hearing aids and he's open and transparent about it, which I love, because if you know that like people, as they age, one of the things that starts to go is your hearing. And like everybody says that when they get hearing aids more than any other like glasses or anything else, is when their life changes for the better. But there's shame and stigma with them. So I'm like,
they feel like kind of
it's sign
like
of
isolating
age.
If you don't have them and you need them, you're like kind of closed off. And I know so many people who have them, and it's like, I was really excited when I saw that because my father-in-law wears them and I know that he hates them. And I was like, I hope he sees this, because I think he'll feel like
it does
not
make a difference to his attractiveness at all. You know what's unattractive is when you have a conversation with someone to the side of them and they just keep going, huh?
I'm in that field. I've been down that road. Yeah,
let me tell you what else is about it. I super attractive about this guy, and I'm not even into 70-year-olds, but that guy has listened his whole life.
He is a listener.
He not just listening, he hears you.
And it's so true.
Responds like I'm skipping ahead. Okay.
So Gary is the Golden Bachelor. You can tell that not only is he enjoying this experience, there's also a lot of it where he's like, whoa. Like,
yes.
But
we're all the things that we think about The Bachelor, where you're like, wait, you're going to go out with 12 women at one time?
You're not going to be able, he's handling it.
He's like, well, that's weird and I've never done that, but I'm going to give it a shot.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, well, I didn't expect that to happen.
Yeah.
And it's delightful. And so all these women come out of this limo. We'll get to the women. They come out and they meet him. And it is proof. God, I get goosebumps and choked up thinking about it. That like, the chivalry that he shows and the interest he shows in each woman from a very genuine place. He's not sussing them up in terms of like, he's not so quick to disregard them, whether or not he's having this like overly attracted moment with them. He's invested in them. His eyes sparkle when he talks.
Yeah.
He's delighted by them. And it is whoever it is he's talking to, he's giving his time to, and he's doing it in a genuine, polite way. And he's proving that nice can be attractive and you can do it.
Exactly. I don't know if this is because of, it's got to be because of their age, but like one of the things that I really don't like about the young bachelor ones is that like you can't live your life like you were always waiting on a better option.
Right. Better dealing it, man. Yeah.
And I don't say that anyone should settle, because I think that you should be like obviously very scrutinizing about who you partner with. But I feel like those guys are they're at the age, like the women and him, they are done playing games and they are being themselves.
Their most authentic
good
selves.
Good or bad, because some of them are a little weirdo.
Yeah.
But like they're being themselves because they're like, this is where I'm at. And I know I have limited time to be happy, but what I choose is happiness.
Ugh.
So I'm putting all the BS behind. And I don't like the shows that have the BS.
They're
all about the BS and it's stupid.
Well, there's always this notion like in LA, there's an act out that everybody does because it's very true that like you're having a conversation with someone and they're sort of looking like soft focusing over your shoulder just to see who's behind you. And there's nothing that feels worse than that where you're like, oh, I'm low in the pecking order of whether or not you're going to continue a conversation with me or I'm interesting enough. And it makes you feel so small. And so I feel like new bachelor, younger bachelor, those people don't have enough life experience to have the kind of grace and wisdom and charisma that these women have because they've got years under their belt. They don't need someone. They don't need validation. They've made it this far.
I mean, you watch Young Bachelor and you're like, well, they're all really beautiful. Pick whoever and cross your fingers because they're probably not fully being who they are.
No. But how can you be? You're 23. You're 25.
These like, women are on. Like, here's who I am, where I'm at, and like
it's so full of depth. And the thing that I loved, to Jen's point, so we're going to talk about some of the women because it's fantastic. But on the first night, obviously, there are some women you don't see very often, always on the first night of The Bachelor.
Yeah. And you're like, women, they're going to not get a rose very early.
Yeah, because we haven't seen Doreen at all.
Oh, she's but definitely not getting a rose.
You know, even when
– every time I'll follow a season, I have to say, Kristen, I'll follow a season beginning to end, and I'm like, I don't know who that is.
Right. You never know a single name. I have names memorized.
Yeah, Jasmine gets a rose.
I know
and I'm
that
like,
some of her were retired.
Jasmine?
Exactly. Retired
coming late?
Teacher.
Yeah.
I'm into it. So these women come out, and a few of them get cut at the first episode. And if you remember when they get cut, like they've had a couple days together. They don't go right to Gary. They turn to each other and they're holding hands.
Oh my God.
And they're so funny. They're like, let's make sure that we write down our phone numbers for each other before we leave.
They are saying, I love you to each other.
They constantly say,
I'll call you.
oh my God, Gary is going to be the luckiest man because all of the women here are so spectacular.
They say
they
nicest
are making
things to each other.
Friends with each other, and it's not bullshit. And I've got goosebumps. I believe it.
I said to Britt, because my softy husband was for sure like, he goes, is this going to be sad? Is this going to be mm-hmm. sad? Like, are we going to get our hearts broken? Because mm-hmm. people are going to be really sad leaving. Like, that's his big worry about it is that we're all going to get invested in these relationships and they're going to go home sad. But like, the last woman who like went home last,
yeah.
the second night, we won't spoil anything so that you watch it. She said, I feel really happy because I have hope. Like,
yeah.
I think I can go meet somebody now.
They all talk about that.
And like, I have friends.
They're
now.
Not out of the game.
Yeah.
It's just someone is saying to them, you're still in it, baby. Like, and oh my God. Okay. So.
I keep jumping.
I just keep jumping.
I love it okay. so much.
I'm so glad you love it because I do too. And I was telling my husband about it because he's the one that said he wanted to watch it. And then I just got ahead because he was at soccer.
What made him want to watch it?
I asked him that and he goes, because it looks different. And it's
yeah, it
interesting
is. It is.
To me.
It is different.
I go, fair.
It's a whole different
show. It wasn't
show.
Me that was first into it. I was like, I don't know about that. Is that going to be cringy? Or
I
is
was
that
worried
be
it would be unkind or something
unkind
like that.
Unkind
or
like
incensed.
Exactly.
Because I was like, if people are going to be mean to each other
or
at that stage in life, I can't
I don't
want to
be
it.
A part of it.
Yeah.
I wanted it to be a compliment, not some opportunity to be more critical towards women
yes.
or like do any damage. Like we've all seen that. And it's the opposite.
It is
giving
opposite.
Me all sorts of inspo.
Yeah.
I feel like these women, like they really are examples of like what it looks like to have grace. They've had families. They've had long marriages. Some of them are divorced. Some of them, you know, like
yeah.
they've lived lives there. It's less about what they do. It's less about what they look like. It's the fact that they're doing this thing at 70 and they're having a ball and they're also just totally fine with being their age. One of them was like, well, if there's bunk beds, I got to sleep on the bottom because I got two fake knees.
I know. I love her too. She's so funny.
This
was so good. I loved the thing that like felt really, there were honestly several things that were poignant. They're smart people
yes.
that are on the show and they're saying smart things was, Gary was on one of the dates and he said, when I would talk about my wife who's passed, I would cry. Like I would get really upset. And he goes, it's interesting to talk to someone who's been through the same thing and just be able to acknowledge it.
And he said it was the first time that he didn't want to cry.
Cause he just was
he felt
like,
related. He felt connected
and like connected to somebody. And it's like, it really got me thinking about like, oh, so when you listen to somebody's story, and I think it's okay. I was used to when I was a lot younger, I would not bring up painful topics for people because I was like, I don't want to make them cry. But sometimes that just makes them feel seen. People are apologetic
yeah.
about crying.
Yeah.
They don't want to, but it does make them feel seen
because yes.
you're acknowledging that thing that they're carrying around on their back, you know?
I'm a disaster the whole time. I'm going to need a tissue. I know this. I'm not going to make it through.
Oh,
so if there's
here,
one.
Here. Yeah.
Okay. So, because this like killed me. When he was at dinner with.
Is it Teresa? Is it with the, on the 50s?
On the 1950s date.
They went to this diner. Oh my God.
Okay. They go to this diner okay. and they drive in a classic Corvette.
Oh my God.
And he has never been in LA.
I know what you're going to say.
He's never been in LA.
I can't.
And there's a camera in the car that's recording him and he's not acting any one way
he's
or the other because he doesn't know.
Got fucking nothing to prove.
And he's scared. He's driving this car and he's scared. The lights keep going off and on and she's nervous and it's a convertible and it's sort of like over the top. Like he's trying to be his cool self.
Yeah.
And he's scared. You can see it that he's scared. And she puts her hand on his shoulder and he physically changes
yeah.
his affect and he goes, thank you for doing that. That made me feel so good. And it was so honest and communicative that I was like, Jesus Christ, Gary is A+. And then they go to dinner and they're sitting yeah. across from each other. And she says, I lost my husband 8 years ago. He's like, I lost my wife 6 years ago. They talk
yeah.
about not being able to talk openly about it because people are afraid they cry. And he
yeah.
goes, I have a full life. I have wonderful children. I have people around me all the time. Yet I am so lonely.
Yeah.
And he said it without it sounding saddy,
yeah.
sad sack kind of guy. It sounded honest and forthright and attractive. And then she said, I feel exactly the same way. And
yeah.
I was like, these two people are connecting in a way that is important for them to acknowledge their lives and find love with each other. And I'm so fucking into it.
He said, I want somebody that I can come inside while they're making dinner and say.
He said he wanted to come inside.
Kristen, you hear what you want to hear.
Sorry.
No, he's like, I could, like, you're inside making dinner. I'll walk inside and say, come out and see this beautiful sunset.
Yes, I want to talk about this.
You've just learned how Kristen deals with everything that's emotional. She turns it into a dick joke. This explains so much, right?
Jen, I'm never this vulnerable.
I know.
This was my idea.
It really is. It really is this like beautiful thing. And like he said too, this was another thing that I was like, I want people of this age and even younger to hear. He goes, I have a lot of friends. And yeah. I'm like, I worry all the time about people getting older and getting isolated. And like, I always am trying to friend connect people because I worry about them being alone. Whether or not you're in a love relationship or not, you need to have friends.
I agree.
Because you need to have somebody else to like connect with. So I was so glad that he said that.
Yes.
Because I want like older people that I know to go,
I need a posse.
I need to have a friend. I need to get together and play bunko. I need something.
Yep, that's
that gets,
really
like,
important.
A book club or whatever. And I hope that people... God, I know this is like a cheesy saying where you say like representation matters, but we don't show a lot of old people
on TV.
Older people
older.
On TV.
My mom would be like, Jen Smedley.
How dare you?
I am writing a letter to the next mom box. I'm an active senior.
I know. It's older, you know.
Older, like, but you're right. The 60s and above crowd.
Being happy and cool and loving their life.
Loving their life. This is not a sad story.
It needs to be seen.
I agree. And I think these women, they come out of this limo. And sure, there's some that you can tell have had some work.
God bless them. There are some that you look at them and you're like, well, what we're seeing here is 65 years about this being about you.
Right.
And you are not going to get Gary's attention
right.
by it all being about you.
Right. Some personality quirks, you're like, these are all very fantastic women and you have to be kind. Like that's going to be that's the first thing. It's not going to be if you're selfish or if you're self-centered. It's going to be if you're nice. He's looking for someone nice. They're all beautiful.
1,000%.
He wants
which
nice.
I think end of the day, people in general, like if you look at who people end up being with, it isn't the most this. It's
you're right.
It's the person
that comes
who's
with
nice.
Age. That comes with age because I put up with so many dumbasses for so long. And then it occurred to me, I don't really like them or I don't like the way I feel about myself when I'm around them or I'm like caught up in the fact that they might be something or instead of being like, but do I like hanging out with them? And now I'm so different. I'm like, I don't give a shit. I'm like, if you're cool, if you're down to have a beer and hang out in a chat, we're going to be friends. But if you are one level of difficult, we are not.
Yeah.
Because time is not, you know, we don't have a ton of it. I really can't be around people that take too much. It's got to be fun.
God, I think that about friendships. And I really think we should do a podcast episode on like
how to find a good
genuinely
mom friend.
How to meet friends because
it's tricky.
It is tricky. And I still am learning things like all the time about like how to make and keep. And especially as like friendships evolve or like new ones and like different types of people, like how they, but bottom line is you can't be somebody who asks too much of people.
Right.
I mean, that's the big thing that always like resonates.
It's literally the thing.
In my head.
It's gotta be.
I like it. The thing that I like about my husband is that, and when we're fighting, this is the thing that I, you know, hate the most is like, I like how he makes me feel like I'm fun and I'm funny.
Yeah.
And what I think is weird about me, he thinks is interesting. You
or
know?
Endearing.
Or endearing.
He adores you.
And
yeah.
when we're fighting, I hate that I don't feel that on my own all the time.
Yeah.
Like I don't feel like I'm great. And
yes.
that being away. And you can write and say that that's whatever, but like, I think you sort of get to fall in love with yourself. Like you're reflected in another person. That's like kind of what a relationship is.
Yeah.
Kind of like you're have somebody always, that's pointing out you're good. So you're like, oh yeah, I am that thing.
And when you're married and you've been married for a long time and you dip in and out of like falling in and out of love with your partner, which that's
happens,
a scary thing to hear.
But it happens.
But it's true. And my mom and dad have been married for what, like 50 years?
Yeah.
And I don't think their marriage is perfect, but I think that they work really hard at it. I think that what they are—
chakra issue.
My thing. Dad adores her.
Yeah.
And now it's a version that's in their 70s, which is lovely.
Yeah.
But they love hanging out with each other, and it's very easy between the two of them.
Yeah.
But I do think that, like, that is something that they have worked on. That is not always how I remember things back in my early memory of their relationship. It is something that they've worked on, and that they've both been willing to change a little bit. And now they're really happy with each other, and they're at the Grand Canyon right now. Like, they do stuff that, like, their age group wants to do. And it's awesome. I think there's no shade on that. Like,
I understand, like, there can be relationships and marriages that are, like, irretrievable. Like, it's
sure.
not.
Sure. And we've talked about divorce. I say, yeah, like,
I totally understand you. That. But if a friend says to me, like, ugh, just, you know, they're irritated with their spouse all the time or something like that, I always think to myself, like, okay, but if you start over, you really start, like,
starting
over. Like, if you didn't date in your 30s, Kristen and I dated when we were in our 30s. And if you want to talk about the pool being shallow and there being some, like, major rejects in there, like, we dealt with that and we lucked out and we found the good ones. Like, I have so much sympathy for people who are starting over. I also feel like if you're, like, falling out of love with your spouse, see if you can fall back in love with them. I don't know how that happens. I'm not that kind of person. But I have, that's why this Golden Bachelor, I have so much sympathy for these people because they're doing the hardest thing. They're literally starting from scratch.
And they're letting us see it. They're letting us see it. There's a woman named April. She is just, I really liked her because who's the gal that was in the wedding dress?
It's Nancy.
Yeah. Okay. So there's this incredible scene. They're all going to get these photos taken like they're on the cover of a romance novel.
Yeah.
One of those dumb bachelor things that they do, right?
Good.
And the producers are trying to make them do something. So they're like, fine, let's do this group date, whatever. One woman was like, it was hilarious. She was like, what's a group date? And then this other woman was like, I didn't know either, but evidently we all go on a date together. And she's like, well, that seems fun. Meanwhile, like, everybody else on The Bachelor is like, it's a group date. Like, they know.
How am I going to strategize to get time alone with them?
They're like, oh, this will be fun. We getting out and about. And Gary's going to be there.
We're silly costumes. And everybody was silly about it. The one woman who I consistently am irritated by, who was like, I didn't get the jacket that I want.
Oh, yeah. She's got a little bit of an attitude. That
I
want.
It's all about her. I just can't. Especially, it's so clear when you see other people who are just nice.
Who are just very, you know, these people have been around for a while, so their personalities are locked in. We're seeing them as they are. And, like, if you're out there being anything not kind, it's going to show. And I agree with you. That's the only person I feel like I'm like, I don't know.
I don't want to hear her talk even.
But, however, I do think if you, like, want your body to look great when you're older, take dance classes. Because everybody that's ever a former dancer, like, has a bod forever.
Arms. I know.
I mean, it's just like yoga, dance, all that crap. Yeah. Like, it's like all these women do some sort of, like, fitness shit, which is, like, proof that I need to get my ass back in.
It's motivating in a lot of ways.
It really is because they have good posture. It's funny how the stuff that I pay attention to. But so the woman, there was a thing where they had to try on wedding dresses to take a picture. And Nancy,
I understand that. They
I know.
All
it
did
so stupid.
It or just
no,
her.
There were three different genres. There was, like, a 1970s genre, a
80s, a
80s, and then a
rocker
and a
biker or something.
Yeah, and a wedding. So they were, like, trying to show, like, romance novel thing. And this woman was sitting in the chair and she was very upset. And April, who was cool, was like, are you all right? And she's like, the last time I wore a wedding dress was to get married to the love of my life. And this is way harder than I thought it would be. And to see her, like, she's like, it just makes me miss him. It just makes me remember that beautiful day. It was the best day of my life. It was, and I'm like, oh my God, these people have, like, stories and loss and pain, and I'm going to be so invested. I'm going to need to know what happens if they go home.
I know.
There needs to be a spinoff every single one of them.
I'm secretly hoping some of the women fall in love together. They get voted off.
Oh my God.
Just like,
let's
just vacation together. You know, we're not, it's not even sexual, but
it's just like
love each other. We both.
My God, please, can they go on a cruise?
I just want, well, that woman in particular, like, My husband was very worried about her. Wants her to be okay. And he was like, he goes, does she, it seems like her kids, like her adult children, like convinced her she should do this because she is like beautiful and vibrant and stuff.
But she feels a little out of place because of this game show sort of thing.
I feel like it's making her be herself. Like she is so herself that Britt's like, she is going to win. He's going to get with her. He really thinks.
And I love that Gary walked over and said, she said, I'm so sorry. He just said the thing that like you wish a man would say, which is just communicate exactly what they're worried about. He looked at her and he said, did I do something to upset you? Did like, it was aww, like a very clear communication. Yes. And she goes, no, I'm upset because I remember my wedding day today. And then he goes on to tell this story about how after he lost his wife, he smelled cinnamon and he immediately started to cry because every Christmas his wife, Tony, would make these cinnamon balls, which I'm going to make in honor of her. And it, and then this woman looked at him like, oh my God, you get me. Like, and she's like, me too. It's all just this me too, me too. And like, so lovely. And Gary didn't know the freaking cameras were on him at this point. Like,
didn't
he's
care.
Just a genuinely good person and there's cameras around. He's not playing anything. If he's uncomfortable, he shows it. If he's having a good time, he shows it. If he thinks someone's hot, he says it. It's fucking glorious.
Do you need to talk about dicks for a second? She needs to make some jokes. She needs to make some balls.
I think everybody, I think there's going to get some, I think there's going to be action. Look, there is a woman from New Jersey.
I hope God so.
That's a stylist. And I think she is an Italian. You remember the New Jersey stylist with the short hair? What's her name?
Oh God.
Oh God. Oh God.
Yeah. 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 Oh, the Italian. Yeah.
And she's like, Gary, I woke up early this morning. I made a chicken piccata. I mean, she's like
this
doing her thing.
Like
she's like, she's like, I've got my boobs out. I've make food. This is an Italian like seduction. I'm going to get in there. I'm gorgeous. She's like doing all the ladies' hair. Everybody likes each other.
I don't think anybody more than this age group gets regular health checks. So if you're going to be safe to bang around a little bit,
it's going
to
be
like
this crew,
right?
It's going to be this crew.
I feel like everybody's like, look, we're okay with where we're at. Physically,
I love the woman Natasha, who's this gorgeous black woman, and she goes, I don't mean to be rude, but can we get some chairs up in here for the rose ceremony?
Oh my God,
I mean,
would stand.
We're all over 60. We all agreed. Some of us have bad knees. Can we sit down for a rose ceremony? I'm like, God, I love you so much.
It's so great. I remember, like, so my grandparents were married like 60 years or something like that.
Love,
they got married,
love,
and they were absolute soulmates. And like, I remember like 2 years after my grandpa died that my mom was single. She was divorced. And I was like, well, maybe you guys can both meet somebody. And she goes, I don't want to meet anybody ever. And I felt so bad. Like I had.
Yeah. Like, well, that's a reaction for a little while.
Memory. Yeah. And it felt like enough time had gone by or whatever. And it was my misstep because it takes people. I mean, they were together their whole life.
Can you imagine?
No, like literally.
And no one plans losing a partner in their 60s, by the way.
And then when she was like, it was probably like 7 years after he passed away, she goes, I'd like somebody to hold hands with and to watch TV with. And I like.
Is she trying to say Netflix and chill, but she feels weird telling you? She's like, I'd like to.
Because if I remember right, I think she was okay if that was just a friend, like a woman or something like that. Just that she wanted somebody with her to be able to talk to because she felt alone. Like, we were with her a lot. We saw her all the time. And, like, she was – you guys, though, my grandma was in her 90s. But I see, like, as people age, like, if you're not going after that thing –
you stop.
It's not. It might not come to you.
No.
You kind of have to be a little
proactive.
But
that's what these women are showing us. Is it's not even just going after, like romance per se. But I do think that that's a big part. I think it's that you're going after life in still like a vibrant way.
Yeah.
Like you're saying like that woman that like gets up and she was at the 50s diner and she was like, you look at her and you're like, I know you're not
40. I know that you're in your 60s or maybe your 70s. I can't tell. But whatever, wherever you are on that scale, you look great. And you like the clothes that you wear. And you're foxy. And you like to garden. And you've got things to say. And like, it's changing the way I view aging. It's giving, it's giving me more time in my head. Because I start to like accumulate what I think these ages look like, and as you know, you're getting closer to it, you're like, it's terrifying. And in my head, I'm like, oh, hell no, like, there's a lot to do when you're 70. Maybe you're not like climbing 1,000 stairs, but who cares? Or you're not,
I don't want to do stairs when I'm,
do you know what I mean?
Like, I should be able to pay for an elevator,
right? Or you're just in a ranch style, or you downsize, like, it's kinda showing me that, like, because I do get scared of getting older,
I
get
everybody does, I think.
I see my parents getting older, and I'm like, That's hard on me, but still, this is important to point out too. We feel old, not older. We feel old when we're around people that are younger than us. Do you know? Like, if you go into a bar and the whole crowd is 21, you look around and you're like, oh God.
Well, it makes me feel old, but it also makes me feel smart. Like,
yeah, I can't deal with this.
Yeah, like, I don't want the problems that you have and create for yourself. Like, I feel like I like that aging gives me knowledge.
It's a different category.
Perspective.
Yes. So then I'm like, of course, if you put a bunch of women that are roughly in the same age group and they're all vibrant and fun, it looks like a fun freaking time. Yeah. And that's different than what we don't show that. We don't show women in a group that are 60 and above, besides Golden Girls, which, by the way, I've never missed a single episode in my life, and I've probably seen everyone 18 times. That, like, that to me was so appealing because they were like dating and they were pretty and they wore clothes that were right for them. And it's exciting to think that your life is not over just because you're over a particular age. That's what this show is going to do for everybody.
I hope so. And I
and
don't
also make me cry all the time. Then gonna, dick jokes.
You're going to have to, you and Britt can text one another while it's going on because he's really having a hard time dealing with it. But I want it, like, more than anything is, like, it can't be overstated how, and maybe you can help me put this into words if I can't, but, like, how kind the women are to each other is without any pretense whatsoever.
And maybe,
it is.
Maybe that changes. Who knows? We haven't seen the rest of the episodes.
It might.
But it feels like,
as they're playing a game, quote unquote. But like, I just, like, if you just threw these women together on like a church retreat, you know, for the same thing, I feel like they would, at day four, they'd feel the same way. That's like, I've gotten to know you. I know what your struggles are. And I think you're neat and special. And I want to be your friend. And like, in my head, that's like,
I love that idea that they're like having side conversations of how they're going to go to the coast of Italy together.
I know.
They're going to help each other because they know one has like a bad hip and the other one has rheumatoid arthritis, and they're going to help each other because it doesn't matter.
I can't say this the right way, but sometimes the word supportive sounds like condescending in a way.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It sounds like I'm not going to tear you down, but I feel like supportive is just giving unconditional love to other women, to be like, I'm not going to judge who you are or how you are or anything. I'm just going to like say, I really want good things for you. And maybe I can be along and watch you have these good things happen to you.
What are you doing?
I know, that's what support is, right? That's why I hate Young Bachelor. We don't all want the same thing. We don't all want the fucking Firestone dude. We don't all want that. So, like, let's just support each other and, like, really
if
being
Gary
happy.
If Gary doesn't find love, I'm going to be
give up.
A disaster.
Well,
I know.
But I really do think – I think the hardest thing for him is going to be for him to hurt somebody's feelings.
It's
going to get harder
is.
Every week.
He's already
a disaster. He's already balling. He's
crying at the rose ceremony. But you know what he did? He let each one of those women know – by using their name, by the way. And he took a real moment with them and was like, I really enjoyed the talks that we had. Like, there was no sorry.
Yeah.
It was like genuinely like this, I'm luckier to have had 30 seconds of conversation with you. And I will tell you, it tore me up. And I know that this did for you too. When they did that photo shoot, and Gary gave that frame picture to that woman.
I know.
And I wanted to get her name right.
Nancy.
Not Nancy. No. It's the blonde woman.
Oh, yeah.
And she has a friend who's sick.
Yep, yep, yep.
He gave this picture of, I think it was Ellen.
Okay.
And I that might be wrong. He gave this framed picture of the corny photo shoot they did. And now look, did producers say, here's this picture?
I know.
Of course, of course. But still, Gary gave this
picture. He saw why it mattered.
He saw why it mattered.
He's not a good actor, you guys.
He's like, oh, of course, this is such a wonderful idea. And he gave this to her, and she is interviewed, and she goes, I just felt so special.
Special, yeah.
And I haven't felt special in a really long time.
Oh, gut-wrenching, you guys.
We need to scour the country for more Garys.
It's true. And I also loved when he was like, when they didn't get a rose and he said goodbye, the women said really beautiful things
they
to him.
Did.
Like, you deserve happiness and I know you're going to find it.
And, I mean,
and they also said things like, and I will too. I don't worry about me. I'm going to be all right. I'm going to be happy too.
Have you ever seen anyone on The Bachelor ever look at the guy and go, hey man, I want the best for you, but don't worry about me because I'm going to be all right.
Yeah.
I'm like, mic drop.
They learned something that it like renewed them. It didn't like break them down or
you
make them
so
feel
right,
less.
You are so right. Because they're resilient. Because they're not weak.
Yeah.
They're not weak.
You guys have to watch it. And then
no one is paying us to say this, by the way, but the Golden Bachelor better have us on as a freaking
commentator. You better be a guest on our show because he's our hot flash. Golden Bachelor, Hot Flash,
his name's
Gary.
And by the way, there's a trend on TikTok right now that is following him and like doing these cuts of what it looks like to be chivalrous. And I know there's a whole thing out there that we say between men and women that these acts are make you as a woman less of a feminist if you receive this kindness from a gentleman. And I reject that because I believe I am a feminist and there's nothing that makes me feel better than when my husband opens the door for me or says something nice to me or treats me with respect and kindness. It doesn't happen all that often. We just had an anniversary and that didn't even go well. But I'm just saying he is showing what like chivalry looks like and what that kindness is sexy and that listening is easy. Like, be interested in the person in front of you. Find ways to connect. It's fucking, he's giving a roadmap for dudes to be better dudes, which will lead to them getting ass.
Can I say something about chivalry, too?
Please.
Did I say the word correctly?
Chivalry.
It's tough because I have problems
with
my
R's. I'm so serious about this love conversation.
I know, it's true. But, like, I consider myself a feminist, but here's my argument for chivalry. Most of it began because of some practical reason.
Yeah.
Like, what it goes back to is, like, a man walks on the outside of the street because back in the, like,
wagons
200, 300
shit.
Days ago, when people used to throw their chamber pots out the window, they would literally dump shit out the window, and men wore hats and women didn't. So if it got dumped on somebody, it got dumped on the dude because he had his hat on.
Yeah.
Like, there are, like, practical reasons that don't diminish you that you can accept chivalry.
I think that's a good word. Also, don't you want to require a little bit of chivalry in your life? Like maybe if that part is like a little bit muted, I know I can do a better job of being like
receiving the chivalry
and giving the femininity as I sit here in my what do you call it?
My Canadian tuxedo. Double denim.
I know my husband finds it hilarious how like buttoned up I am. He finds it darling. So if I lean in a little bit and I'm a little more playful and I'm a little less all work, you know, he's so quick to respond to that. And if I just remember that, then I end up getting what I want too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Gary's reminding me that like, for me, to have those years, like he had those wonderful years with his wife and like to not waste time, to like really love being with the person you're with and finding ways to do that. And if you can't, then you've got a bigger situation on your hands, you know, that's fair. By the way, get a fucking divorce. If that is where you're at and you can, and financially you're supported in that way, your life will be better. I do believe that.
Yeah.
But if you're just not connecting or it just seems hard, like that's just a little bit of leaning in.
Yeah.
Like Colin and I had lunch today and I was like, I can make this lunch. Like I had it at the house and I was like, I can either make this lunch like a real phoned in effort and we eat apart because we're busy, or I can do it up. And so I made a really nice lunch and then I got in a teddy and then I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I absolutely did not.
You
I wore
see,
this.
It always goes sexual as no, soon as Jen, she starts feeling something.
She's so girly. She's like, oh, and I'm like, yeah, Jen, and I wore a fucking like, corset.
Teach me, Sensei. No, what? God.
So I was wearing my beige bra. You know, I've got one. So I—
Looks like a parachute.
Yeah, it's real fucking sexy. So he came in and we had lunch and then I let him talk to me about history and the Astros.
That's not where I thought that was going.
Well,
okay.
It was delightful and we had a really nice date.
Good.
And that felt good.
That's perfect.
So Gary makes me believe in love and I'm going to give my husband notes.
Kristen, so what I'm hearing you say is that—
Oh God, here we go.
Nice connection is about vulnerability.
Have you seen Naked Attraction on Netflix where they show the wieners?
Go here. We're done. We're
it's
done
disgusting.
Here,
it's so watch it, but don't watch it around your kids. It's disgusting. It's so eye rapey. Like you're going to
don't watch it.
Feel
we're
like,
done. We podcasted.
I'm sorry to end on that note. Naked Attraction, watch it, but
terrible,
don't watch
but
it.
Don't.
Watch The Golden Bachelor, but watch Naked Attraction, one episode, 7 minutes, and then we'll
That's
talk
all
about all
okay.
the weird skin covered wieners.
Bye.
Goodbye. We did it.